Joshua chapter 20 is our passage of scripture as we work our way through the book of Joshua Sunday morning, James on Sunday evening. Joshua chapter 20. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, we probably ought to just say all the books in the Old Testament, right? By memory. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you for that, amen. That's a great way to know where you are in the Bible, is memorize the books of the Bible. If you haven't ever done that, I encourage you to do that. Joshua chapter 20, verse number 1. The Lord also spake unto Joshua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out for you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares and unwittingly may flee thither, and they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city, they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer up into his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly, and hated him not before time. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return, and come unto his own city, and unto his own house, unto the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee, in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and Kirjar Abba, which is Hebron, in the Mount of Judah. And on the other side Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bezer in the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stood before the congregation. And so we see described in Joshua chapter 20, cities of refuge. They were places of safety for someone who innocently and accidentally killed someone else. And we see this not only described here in Joshua chapter 20, but also in Numbers chapter 35, Deuteronomy chapters 4 and 19. And so if you want to get some more details about it, Numbers 35, Deuteronomy 4 and 19 are other passages of Scripture that you can get more specific details about the cities of refuge. Now, when we think of places of safety, your thought may go to, well, where is the safest place that is in our country? Well, for years it was a very secret place. No details were made known about it. It was built during the Cold War, but now it's become more open and acknowledged that it even exists. Actually, is a city, a small city in and of itself, located in the Rockies, under a mountain called Mount Cheyenne. It's half mile deep, and it's the home of the United States Strategic Command, the Air Force Space Command, and the Defense Intelligence Agency, the National Security Agency, and the Missile Defense Agency. All of them have their homes half a mile underneath the ground, and it's specifically built to withstand any nuclear attack or any kind of earthquake. It's amazing to see that the entire city is built on springs so that it can move and not be destroyed with whatever bomb may take place or earthquake may come its way. Now, it's interesting to read those kinds of things, but to be honest with you, that really doesn't help you and me in times of catastrophe, because that city is designed for leaders of our country, but we're not leaders of our country, you know. And so if something like that happens, we don't have that place of safety. Thank God they do, but we don't. Now, when you think of places of safety, you have to just stop and say, well, what possible catastrophe might I face? Take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. There in Hebrews 6, you'll find the same word, refuge, in the New Testament that in the Greek translation of the Old Testament is seen in Joshua chapter 20. It's the same word, refuge. But here in the New Testament, it's talking about a refuge for you and me when you and I are facing the judgment of God, facing the possibility of hell. But the Bible says that God has made promises. God is not a liar. In fact, pick up in verse 17, Hebrews 6, 17, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, unchangeability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie. You may want to underline that. It's impossible for God to lie. So whatever God says, it's settled. It can never change. It's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation who have fled for what? Refuge. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Now notice it says, we have. That means right now, present tense. We have this hope, this refuge that we find in Jesus Christ. It says that we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So we can see then that Jesus is our refuge. Jesus is our place of safety. So as we read about the cities of refuge in Joshua chapter 20, we're going to be looking at some comparisons between these cities and our refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it is our desire that if you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never recognized maybe a need for someone like Jesus Christ as a refuge for all of eternity, instead of having to die and go to hell and pay for your own sins, recognizing that Jesus has already done that for you if you'll accept him as your personal Savior. He becomes a refuge then for you and me. Now notice, go back to Joshua chapter 20, and let's just take a note at the cities of refuge. These six cities are placed here specifically for an individual who was involved in an accidental death. I remember one time when I was a little boy, I was pitching horseshoe in my backyard. My brother and I were playing back and forth. He was at the opposite end, and he would pitch, and I'd pitch. And just as I pitched my horseshoe, our next-door neighbor, Pat, ran into our backyard and hit him in the head with that horseshoe. Now, thank the Lord he didn't die. We weren't very good friends, but it would have been really bad if he had died, because, you know, it says here, if you've already hated this person in the past, and we were not on great terms, and if he'd have died, and man, I'd have been in a mess, you know. Now, that's what it's talking about, accidental death. And so consequently, these cities were set up for a person who accidentally kills someone to recognize, I'm in a mess. Because back in those days, if someone in your family was killed, your family would appoint an avenger for your family. That person would be responsible to go and kill the person that has killed your relative. And so consequently, immediately, as soon as you accidentally kill somebody, you would recognize a member of that person's family is going to be after me. And if he catches me before I get to one of these cities of refuge, I'm dead. I mean, there was no trial, and the avenger of blood had the right to kill you if he found you before you got to one of the cities of refuge. And so as a result of that, it was very important that you made it to the city of refuge. Now, you had to be innocent to be spared once you got to the city of refuge. Jot down, if you will, Numbers 35, because in that passage it tells us that if it could be proven that you were not innocent, and there were three things that it mentioned, that if you had a prepared instrument, like if you had a gun in our day, or a stone, or a club, or whatever, if you had a prepared instrument with which you could kill a person, if you had clear intent. In other words, the Bible says, and hated him in the pastime. And if you had motive, those three things, according to Numbers 35, would indicate that even if you got to the city of refuge, probability of you being declared innocent was very, very slim. All right, so you would try to get to the city of refuge and have the elders of the city listen to your cause, and actually they would set up a jury to determine whether or not you would be killed by the avenger of blood or you would be granted freedom. Now, granted freedom meant that you would stay in that city of refuge, you would live there, you wouldn't return home, you wouldn't exit the city, you wouldn't go out for a walk, you would stay within the city walls until the high priest died. It doesn't specifically say why that was the time of freedom, but when the high priest died, then everyone who had fled to cities of refuge were free. They could not be killed by the avenger of blood. They were able to go back to their own home and establish relationships again with their family, live in their own home, that kind of a thing. But during that time of staying in that city of refuge, they had to stay within the city walls. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 2, that God himself appointed the cities of refuge. God himself appointed it. In fact, the Lord is speaking in verse 1, and he said, appoint these cities of refuge that I told Moses about before you even got into the land. God appointed these cities. In fact, it's interesting, God appointed them before there was ever a need. Before there was ever a need. You know, the amazing thing is the fact that God did the same thing with Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8 that the planning of the death of the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was planned before the foundation of the world. God knew that man was going to need a Savior, and so God had a plan. Jesus Christ was the plan. His death on the cross was the plan for our forgiveness and our release from the guilt that we would experience from our choices of sin. In the same way, before there was ever a need, God planned these particular six cities. And these cities were a beautiful picture of God's love and of God's mercy. Reminds us of John 3:16, doesn't it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so you can see that even today, God's plan for you and for me, for our sins to be forgiven, to find a refuge in Jesus Christ, it was God's plan. It's not my plan. It's not man's plan. It's not religion's plan. It's God's plan. And that's why when we read God's plan, we can trust it. We can simply say, this is what God says. Now, many times you'll run into people that have different ideas of a plan on getting to heaven. God help them. Because if it's not God's plan, it's not going to work. This was the plan of God. And then secondly, we notice that God's word announced these cities of refuge. We say that in verse 3. God's word announced there will be six cities to which you can run, any one of them, whenever you have accidentally killed someone. God's word announced it. And by the way, if God's word hadn't announced it, you would have been in a mess if you accidentally killed someone and you didn't know that there was a city of refuge, or you didn't know where they were, you didn't know what they were. God's word announced it. And obviously, we see the same thing that is true in our salvation. God's word announces Jesus Christ to be our refuge. Amen? And praise the Lord, all we have to do is just read the Bible, and we understand that God's love for us is just as strong as his love for his own people back in those days. And God's word tells us there is a refuge that you can go to. And God specifically mentioned the names of the cities. That simply meant that nobody could change what cities were cities of refuge. Nobody could eliminate a city of refuge. In fact, nobody of influence back in those days could just make up his mind, no, I don't think this ought to be a city of refuge. Let's say the king of the nation had a relative that was killed, and so the person that accidentally killed the relative of the king would run to a city of refuge, and the king would show up and say, well, I'm sorry, this is no longer a city of refuge. I get to kill you. Nobody has the opportunity to change what God's word says. And the same thing is true concerning our refuge in Jesus Christ. A lot of people try to change what God says about how to get to heaven. A lot of folks try to change the idea that it's by faith and God's grace and repentance and oh, you got to have some works. It doesn't work any more than the king would try to change the name of the city or the fact that there were six cities to which they could go. They were designated by God, announced by God, and announced in God's word. And once it was established by the Lord, it was firm. And any innocent person then could flee to one of these six cities. Kind of reminds me of Acts 4:12 that says that neither is there any salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. See, God specifically says it's only through the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So God's word announces the same thing. Regardless of what religions may tell you, you can talk to a lot of folks that have different ideas about how to get to heaven. But my friend, listen to the one who made heaven and wrote the book. Amen? I mean, he's the one that made heaven. He's the one that made you and me. And he wants us to get to heaven. So therefore, he's given us a map, as it were. And he wants each one of us to arrive safely. Then notice thirdly, anyone could enter into these cities. Notice verse 9. It says, these were the cities appointed for all the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person. Whosoever. Now, these cities were strategically located in the country. The Jordan River ran down the middle of the country. And there were three cities on the west and three cities on the east. One located in the north, one in the center, and one in the south. Other side, north, center, and south. They were strategically located so that within one day's journey, anywhere in the country, someone who was running for a city of refuge would be able to reach one of those cities. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 3 tells us that God even commanded that roads would be made to those cities of refuge. Roads, making it easier to get there. In fact, according to Jewish literature, it tells us that every spring after the winter was over and after everything kind of, any snow or effects of cold weather, whatever, they would take one whole day and do nothing but repair the roads to the cities of refuge. Just repairing them, just making sure that they were well prepared for anyone running down that road. They would build bridges to be able to get across a ravine so nobody would have to run down into a ravine and then come back up. They also put signs at every intersection of a road or a path. And the signs said two words, refuge, refuge, with a huge arrow pointing in the direction of the city of refuge. And I like the fact that they said it was large enough so you could see it as you were running by. Amen? Now, that's important, isn't it? You know, you don't want to have to run up and kind of, you know, get your glasses out and try to figure out, you know, which way it is. I mean, huge letters, huge arrows, so that there'd be no question about where the city of refuge could be found. The lettering was very, very large. And the Bible says specifically in verse 9 that anyone could enter. I like that whosoever in verse 9. Kind of reminds me of John 3:16. Amen? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, it's the same thing. God is not willing that anybody should perish. And you say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't have to know what you've done. God knows what you've done, but he said it doesn't make any difference. Whatever you've done, his blood shed on the cross is sufficient to pay for your sin. Whosoever can come to him and find salvation. That's John 3:16. And what a blessing it is to be able to see that truth. Then we also notice that the cities of refuge were never locked. Now, normally the big gates of a city were locked at night. But the cities of refuge were never locked. It would be bad if you were trying to run to a city of refuge. You didn't get there in time. They closed and locked the city gates. And you're beating on the door and everybody's asleep. And the avenger blood is right behind you. That'd be bad news. You see, they never locked, never closed the gates of the cities of refuge. What a blessed truth that is. Amen? Never locked, always open. Then also, they were all built on a mount. In fact, as you look in verse 7, you'll see the mount and the mount and the mount. And because God wanted them easily seen. Easily seen. Easy to be found. And the same thing is true concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants the plan of salvation to be simple. He wants anybody of any age to be able to understand the sweetest story ever told. God loves you. Amen? And He gave His Son to die on the cross to pay for your sins. It is so simple because God wants it to be simple for us to find a refuge in Him. But one simple truth is, if you didn't run to one of the cities of refuge, if you just thought, I'm going to hide somewhere else, tough bounce if you got found by the Avenger of Blood. It wouldn't make any difference what your excuse was. You didn't make a decision to run to a city of refuge, and the Avenger of Blood found you outside of one of those cities, nowhere near that city, and he had all rights legally to kill you because of the death of his relative. You see, you and I don't have the right to make up our minds, how can I get to heaven? God says, I've given you one way. There is one way. Jesus Christ is the way, amen? John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so if a person decided, I don't like the city of refuge idea, or it's just too hard to get there. There's got to be some other way. Maybe my relatives can protect me. You see, any other plan other than God's plan would not have the protection of God and all of the leaders that God had appointed. No other hope was offered. Now, let's notice how God's offer of salvation can be seen in these city of refuge pictures. First of all, Christ is very easy to reach. Christ is very easy to reach. He's available by prayer. Just repenting, turning the opposite direction. You've been going in this way, living for yourself, living in sin. You just turn around and say, Lord, I'm having a change of mind, change of heart. I want to live differently. I want my life to be different. You turn around. You call on Him in faith that Jesus died on the cross for you. Repentance of your sin. That's how easy it is to be saved. You don't have to run a day's journey. You don't have to wonder if you're going to make it. And the church is here to cry out, refuge, refuge, amen? That's why the church is left here, to help people who have the look of desperation and fear and despair in their eyes and on their voices, to be able to say to them, is there anything I can pray with you about? What are you going through? How can I help you? Oh, the sweetest story ever told is God loves them. And that's why God leaves us here. Now, the Bible says that that's the job of the church. Revelation 22 and verse 17, last chapter of the Bible, it says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Here's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is drawing unsaved people to Christ. We are the bride of Christ. We, along with the Holy Spirit, are saying to them, come. It goes on to say, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Jesus himself said, I am the water of life. He said that to the woman at the well in John chapter 4. And so it's the church's opportunity to cry out, refuge, refuge. Jesus is an available refuge. It simply takes repentance and faith. And I love the fact that, secondly, Jesus is open to all. Amen? Jesus is open to all. There are no race restrictions. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Isaiah 45, 22, look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else. I like that, all the ends of the earth. Amen? That means wherever you're living, wherever your ancestors are, don't make any difference. Come unto me and be ye saved. In fact, the Bible goes on to say that the Lord is near to those of a broken heart, and He saves those who have a contrite or a broken spirit, Psalm 34 and verse 18. And so you see, He's available. And the interesting contrast is that the cities of refuge were just available to the innocent. Jesus is available just to the guilty. Let me ask you a question. How many of us are innocent and perfect? Oh, okay, well, you don't need a city of refuge. How many of you of us are guilty? Well, all of us. Amen? And so Christ is open to all, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 and 6:23. And so consequently, Christ is open to all. Secondly, Christ never locks the gates to salvation. Christ never locks the gates to salvation. Just like the gates of the cities of refuge were open all the time, the gate to Christ is open all the time. And by the way, doesn't make a difference how long it's been that you've been running from God. Call unto the Lord. Let me call your attention to Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Early will I seek thee. But let me tell you something. Even if you're waiting till late, maybe later in your life, you can still seek God. You can still seek God when you're on your deathbed, praise the Lord. Amen. See, God doesn't close the doors and say, oops, sorry, you hit 60. No, too late. God never closes the doors. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It reminds me of the thief on the cross, amen. He didn't have much time. He's dying on the cross beside Jesus, and he didn't have time to get baptized, didn't have time to join the church, didn't have time to live a good life, didn't have time to change his motives and attitudes, didn't have time to do anything but repent and believe in Jesus. That's all it took. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Amen? And so the doors of salvation are always, always open. John 6:37 says, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Whoever comes to Jesus, Jesus said, nobody gets cast out, John 6:37. Then next, Christ is a sufficient refuge. All that you need is in him. See, if you fled to the city of refuge, they had enough food stocked there for people who didn't normally live there. But they had food stocked there. They had places that you could sleep, places that you could live in the city of refuge. Whatever you needed was there in the city of refuge as long as you needed it, as long as you had to be there. And I'm here to tell you that when you come to Jesus Christ, everything that you need, everything that relates to life and godliness, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says it is found in the Word of God. It's found in Christ's provision for us. Provision for us. And what a blessing it is. God says it's open, it's available. Now you say, well, nothing in this world is free. You're exactly right. That's why Jesus had to pay for it. Amen? Jesus had to pay. But he did. He paid for the price of your sin and mine, and so therefore it's free to me. Very costly to him, but it's free to me. Now let me tell you, lastly, why Christ is better than the cities of refuge. He's nearer than any city of refuge. Nearer than any city of refuge. There's no need to run, just turn around and pray. That's why he's better. You see, if you were running to a city of refuge, you might fall. You might hurt yourself. You might faint. You might get sick. Or you might be too slow. My hand would have to be up. I'm going to my 50th high school reunion this September. Haven't seen any of the people I graduated from high school in 50 years. Got in contact with one of the guys I ran track with. And found him on Facebook. And so he writes back and he says, wow, looking at your picture, looks like you could run just as fast as you did before. I wanted to write him back and say, what happened to your eyesight? Been blind for a while now, haven't you, Bob? No, not quite as fast as I used to be. But you see, you don't have to be fast to get to Christ. Amen? You don't have to be strong. You just have to be repentant. You just have to want your life to change. Because if you don't, then death forever in hell is what you'll experience. And thank God, Christ is a permanent refuge. Amen? The cities of refuge were just temporary. Christ is a permanent refuge. Wherever you are, Christ is a permanent refuge for you. And he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, quickly, let me close with this. The names of the cities show what kind of a permanent refuge he is. Go back down to verse 7. The first city was the name Kadesh. Beside the word Kadesh, write, the holy place of righteousness. That's the meaning of the word Kadesh. So the first city of refuge meant the holy place of righteousness. I am so thankful that Christ becomes your righteousness and my righteousness, because all I have is unrighteousness. And so he becomes my righteousness. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so that first city of refuge reminded them that their righteousness could be found in Christ. Secondly, the city of Shechem means shoulder, shoulder. It's a place of rest. And Christ becomes your resting place when you come to Christ. No one understands like Jesus. He's a friend beyond compare. Amen? Tenderly, he whispers comfort. He's waiting for you there. Shoulder. And so when they fled to the city of Shechem, it reminded them of the shepherd that would place the lost sheep on his shoulders and would bring that sheep home. And oh, let me tell you something, that's what Jesus is to you and to me. He is a refuge that gives you rest. Remember when our youngest son, David, who is now one of our missionaries, was a little boy, he used to come to me and he'd put his hands up and he'd say, Daddy, I want to hold. I'd say, oh, you want to hold me? Okay. No, Daddy, I want to hold. Now, I knew what he meant. And so I'd reach down and I'd pull him up and put him against my shoulder, and he'd lay his head down on my shoulder, and we'd have a little time together. Now, let me tell you, friend, that's what you can do with God, regardless of what you're going through. You just come to the Father and say, Father, I need a hold. I need a hold. And he is your shoulder. He is your resting place. What a blessing that is. The word Hebron, the next city, means fellowship. Isn't that neat? Fellowship. Prior to coming to God, we had no fellowship with God. We had no fellowship with each other. But once we come to God, oh, the city of Hebron tells us we have fellowship. I was in China last week. Met a 27-year-old young man who said, I am sick of solitude. He said, I'm lonely. I have no one in my life. And he said, I've come to this activity with all these students, and they all seem to be enjoying their time together. But there's something different about you guys. He was talking about our missionary team. He didn't know we were missionaries. He didn't know what we were. But he said, there's something different about you. And he says, I have two friends that are Christians, and they read the Bible. And I've been reading the Bible. Do you read the Bible? I laughed. I said, yeah. Yeah. And what a blessed privilege to be able to tell him, you come to Christ, you won't be lonely again. I'll never be lonely again, never again. Amen? Because I've opened my heart door to him. You see, because he is fellowship. That's what the word Hebron means. And then notice we find Bezer is the fourth one. It means stronghold or fortress. Stronghold or fortress. It refers to the protection and the victory in Christ. See, isn't it neat that there is no temptation to sin that is so strong that it will overtake you? But you see, when we come to Christ, he is my stronghold. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. That's the stronghold. That's the fortress who will not allow you to be tempted more than you're able to take, but will along with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it and get away from it. You see, he is your stronghold. And if you've been fighting sin, if you've been saying, I don't know how in the world my life can change, you come to Christ and you will find him as your fortress and as your stronghold. Number five is the city of Ramoth. That means exalted or heights. H-E-I-G-H-T-S. Heights. Exalted. Reminds us that Ephesians 2:6 says that when we come to Christ, we are seated together with Christ in the heavenlies, in the exalted position. But notice it says we are seated together with Christ. Now when the high priest was doing his priestly work, he never sat down. There were never any seats in the temple or the tabernacle. But when a high priest is done with his work, then he can sit down. So Jesus Christ is defined as our high priest. He is the one that made it possible for us to enter into the presence of God. And his work is done. The work of salvation, purchasing it, is done. So guess what? He is seated. And the Bible says that you and I are where? We're not standing beside him working on our salvation. We are seated with him in the heavenlies. Why? Because there's no work for us to do. Amen? What a blessed privilege it is to be able to say that we are seated with him in the heavenlies when we come to him to find him as a refuge. And of course, then one day we'll be caught up in the heavenlies with the Lord in what's called the rapture. And then lastly is the city of Golan. It means separated. Separated. Christ serves as a refuge when you're tempted to sin and enables you to live a separated life unto him for his glory. And so there are the six cities. And there are the promises that God has given to us. I guess my question is this. Do you need a refuge today? Do you need someone who will forgive your sin? Someone who will give you a shoulder? Someone who will give you protection? Someone who will give you a life of victory? Someone who will change your eternal destiny from hell to heaven? Jesus Christ is our refuge. And that's why Brookside's motto today is refuge, refuge. And that's why Revelation 22 says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And our message today is if you need Christ as your personal Savior, don't delay any longer. You are not promised tomorrow. You just have today. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. My precious friend, you're living life as if it will go on without change. You have no promise. But you do have one promise. God has said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden with your sin, with your burdens. And he says, I will give you rest. If you need Christ as your personal Savior, two things are necessary. Wanting to change, that's repentance. Coming to Christ, accepting what he did on the cross in payment for your sin. Would you, in the quietness of your heart, just simply open your heart to God today? Would you say to him, Lord, I'm a sinner, and my life needs to change? And I've heard this morning, just as you did in the Old Testament with the cities of refuge, you have offered your son as our refuge today. And dear God, I'm ready. I'm ready. I want to turn to you. I want to open my heart to you. I want my life to change. And today I'm trusting Christ as my personal Savior. If that is your prayer, why don't you just tell the Lord that quietly right now? Right now. The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Time after time, he's waited before. And now, he's waiting again to see if you're willing to open the door. Oh, how he wants to come in. If we can help you with that decision, that's why we're here. I trust that if you made that decision this morning, you'll let us know so we can give you some help in learning how to begin to live the Christian life. If you want prayer, let us know. That's why we're here. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the way that you have shown your love to us through the cities of refuge. And now, Lord, through the Christ, the Savior of refuge. May today, the 8th day of June, be birthdays in the family of God for those who need you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.